And let's start in the Gemara. Thank you very much, Ezra, for reading yesterday. And I'll still going to take a little volunteers this week. Can I someone would like to read? Pastor the Mishnah. There isn't a Nusach for the Gemara, you know, in Ashkenazi Beis Medrash, but the Sfaradim probably also have a Nusach when you read Gemara. Is there no tune at all, like a basic tune, a sing song?
It's like an overly dramatic question and answer.
Okay, so that's a Nusach. And, you know. All right, who would like to be a brave soul in all of here? Jennifer, go ahead.
Sure.
What does that mean?
Where do we see these words?
That's a literal translation. One of the words we know how to mean is signal, which is actually crucial.
So we're going to find a source for something said in the Mishnah?
That was the last thing. You're looking for a scriptural source. If it just said Minolon, that might not be, you might have a Brisa Mishnah. I mean, go take out your Bar Ilan when you have a chance, look at Minohani Mili, and virtually every single one of Shas is followed by somewhere in the next sentence, Amar Ka. Minohani Mili means Puzzle. Now that's crucial. You may not pick up on that fine nuance, but because what's crucial is that the Gemara here is going looking for the Raisa source. Right? The Gemara is assuming when it asks the question Minani Mili that this is within the Raisa, which of course then raises the question of what is the Maskana? Go ahead.
Zohir Banan, Kadish Halalu
Lashem. Kodesh Hilulu Lashem. So let's just talk about the Pesukim for a moment. If you have an Oso Hadar Gemara, you have no excuse for not reading the Pasuk. If you're dealing with the other Gemara, at least you'd be excused if you didn't pick it up. Both versions have it. Okay, so nobody has an excuse. So the Torah says, Kisavola Aretz Unetatem Kaleitz Machal V'Aralpim Orla Soet Kiryo. So you come into the land, you make the fruits Orla, Shalosh Shanem Yelachem Arelim Lo Yerachel. It'll be 3 years, it's Arelim, it cannot be eaten. Orla is aser ba'achila, orla is aser ba'hana'a. Uvashana ha'riviyis, yiyeh kol kiryo kodesh yilulim lasha. In the fourth year, all of its fruits will be kodesh yilulim lasha, which means holy and something to do with praising God. Uvashana ha'mishis. In the fifth year, toflu es kiryo lahosif lachem tuwaso. You get to eat the fruits, and lahosif lachem tuwaso presumably explains why the Torah imposed these restrictions or what the reward is for following these mitzvahs. It will be lahosif lachem tuwaso ani Hashem Elokechem. Okay, now, as a side question, is the issue of Revai ever touched upon anywhere else in the Torah? Why do you persist on asking the question? That's a good answer. A wise man. Where else is in the Torah? Try your arena here, because you already know. But number Rishonim, by the way, pointed out what I said to you. And number Rishonim makes the connection to the Rashba. What? Yeah. Rabbi Yonah does. The Rashba makes it. No surprise. They're contemporaries. It's the right first. Actually, the right might be the first one to point it out. I think the Rashba quotes it in the right. There's another place, and this is a crucial. This is crucial to understanding what's going on in the Sugya, actually, and why the Gemara does some of the funny things that it might seem to be doing, which are funny, which only makes sense. The other place we read 2 weeks ago, Kriyas HaTorah, Pasha Shoktim. Umiha ish asher nocha keren velo chilalo yelech liyashol l'reiso penyomuska melechama v'ishacher yichal olana. So we're told about a person who planted, in that case a keren, talking about what does a keren mean there, and he was not mechal olana. So obviously the Torah is alluding to the fact that there's a chinuch, by a bias, mi'a ish asher bana bias chadash velo chanacho. There is Nisuin, which is kind of the beginning of marriage, Eiras Yishev El Kacha, and then Nata, there's Nitziah, but then there's a Chinuch for it, which is Chilalah. So it's pretty obvious that this is referring to the same thing that the Shana Harbis. So that, the Gemara here is going to have a drasha, but the Raya says, the real Makor for the fact that you need Pidyon for Revai is Yishev Shana Takar, but you don't have to have any of these funny drushas about Hilulim, Chilalim, and so on. Okay, so it starts out, that sounds like it's going to be a real drasha, and so they quote a drasha, which is found in the Torah's Kohanim, and that's important actually, which is Kodesh Shibulim Hashem. By the way, it can all get lost here. What do you do with Revai? What's that? Right, it's very much like Maaser Sheni, and you bring it to Yerushalayim, and you eat it there. And if you can't bring it to Yerushalayim, what do? You redeem it, and you take the money to Yerushalayim, and you eat it there. Okay, so Malame, this pasuk teaches you.
Shetiunim bracha mehem ulachrayim.
Finish the brisa.
Mikan amar Rabbi Kiva. Asur la'adam shmitum klum kodem shivarit.
Okay, so the first, just when you read the brisa, and I don't want to dwell on this dilemma, but Slav talks about this. There are two lines to this brisa. I am inclined, I'm trying to read it. To read it as really one statement. But theoretically, there are two different, limudim or two different claims here. What are the two different claims?
Number one, you can't benefit from.
That's claim number two. Okay.
And the other one is that you need to
take a bracha beforehand. And right? In other words, the formulation is, tzunim bracha lifnei ulacharein. But there's a machlokas of Rishonim, actually, what the pasuk. Most Rishonim say that really it might be the bracha for both, and the Ritva says, no, it's really lifnei, that's the ikar part. Either way, Rabbi Akiva would be justified in saying, if you need a bracha l'fnei l'achrayim, it's asa la'adam litom klum achi yivarech. You're not allowed to taste anything, and it's an interesting choice formula. What is te'ima, tasting? Is te'ima different than achila? How do you know that?
You're allowed to be
tamei manifesta. You're allowed to be tamei early in the Masechta. Right? Everything's in the Masechta. So their te'ima is permissible. Te'ima is defined as ad revius. It's a big machlokas whether you can swallow or you have to spit it out. It's machlokas harishonim. Te'ima is different than achila. Achila is normally defined in halacha as?
You swallow it.
Well, yes, but. Yes, and? Ein achila p'chusa mitazayis. This is the classic formulation the Gemara has. So I'm not inclined to try to split this apart. I think the tzlach has a whole long arichus. If it's your style, go dig in. But in the meantime, Rabbi Akiva, there's a braisa in the Sifra, which is a medrash halacha on Vayikra, the Torah's Kohanim, which teaches you that you have to make brachos, let's say for the moment, before and after. Okay? So they're reading Kodesh, Hilulim, Lashem, is that when you eat the Revai, you have to make brachos. You have to have Hilulim, you have to have brachos Rishon, you have to have a bracha Achron. Okay, so now the Gemara says,
V'hai Kodesh Hilulim L'hachiyu, Da'asen Hai Mivayilei, Chad Da'amar Rahmana, Achlei V'hadar Achlei.
I'm sorry, you can't read that. Rani, can you please read that for us? We have to enjoy it. Chad ad amar rahmana.
Chad ad amar rahmana. Ahle ve'adar ahle.
Thank you. I needed the fest and the chav. Okay. So it is appreciated. I can't turn to Ephraim. He's a wannabe. So, but the point is ahle ve'adar ahle. Now, how do you get from, the real question is, how do you get from Hilulim to Achle? So, yes, Dodi.
You don't pass that, I'll start stopping.
All right, so, the writer says, it has nothing to do with Ches versus Hay, it's really relying upon the Pasuk Yechotim, the Lochem Alav. However, what the Kidego points out here, to the Yushalmi that is found in Shvius and Maaseh Sheni, that explicitly uses, has this drasha, that the expression is, Lo mismanin rabbanan min l'matarian hein chesin v'chesin hein. They did not refrain from reading cheses and heis as heis or heis as cheses. The Yushami has it also by Shabbos, the Lamed Ches Malachos. The Badli says, Eile hadvarim asher tzivar l'ashas asem. Eile in Gematria is in? How much is Eile?
36.
Wrong, it's 39, the Badli says. No, actually, it's 39 Malachos because it's Eile. Hadvarim. Dvarim is two more. Hadvarim, the extra is three more. 36 plus 3 is 39. The Yushami says, Eile is 39. Why? Because the Rabbanan do not refrain from reading Heis and Cheses and Cheses and Heis. Dovi is correct that the reason for that is that the Gadols were very weak. There was a Gemara in Megillah when apparently Rabbi Chiya said to... Yeah.
Is that indicative of the difference between how Hebrew was pronounced in Babel and
I just say yes. The story I'm about to tell you suggests the reverse, but it is indication of how a pronunciation in a particular location depends on time. Yes, you can work backwards. That's how you determine. Or if you want a good example, how do you say in Kriya Shema? V'natati. What's the last letter?
Va.
Va or va?
No, it's in between. It's like in Spanish, for example.
And kanaf to teal. How do you read? No, but how's the word haptanah there?
Haptanah.
You mean, there's a Gemara in the second parak that says that it lists the Dveikim and Kriya Shema, you have to be careful not to run words together. So one of them is Esav Besadachah, and one of them is Hakanah Pesil. So I thought the Syrian still preserve a little bit, it's closer with the Bays. That tells you that at that Amora, in that location, at that time, they hadn't yet distinguished between Bays and Pei and Fei. That is a development at a certain time in the language. Because if you did, then why would you tell a person to pause between Esev Bisadacha and Hakanah Pasil? You can't run them together either if you want to. If you're reading Hakanah Pasil, then you'll run them together. So Yonatan, yes. You can see often what pronunciation, how it's not the same way it's pronounced today. So there's a story in Megillah where Rav Chiya is making, Rav Chiya and Rabbi Shimon bar Revi, you know, are contemporaries. So Rav Chiya makes fun of him and says, if you were a lady, you'd be pasul for Shira because your voice is so bad. So he's very offended. So he goes to his father. And his father says, you go back to Chiya and you tell him that when he reads the pasuk, v'chikesi l'Hashem, he's nimseis mechayah from Agavit because he couldn't pronounce the chet. So he reads it, v'chikesi l'Hashem. So you can see that there was an issue with pronouncing the hey is a relatively easy, it's what in Greek, it's the rough breathing, it's easy to pronounce. The ches, go ask your average, you know, you don't want to ask the Spanish people because they may have it, but go ask your typical Midwesterner in the United States, you know, to pronounce, you know, chayim, you know, and just watch them choke. So the bottom line is that some, the gut, and that's not even a guttural. Ha is not a guttural. The het is a guttural that Sardin still pronounce. And forget that. That let you know that they looked at you from another planet. You know, the ch sound is a Greek sound. There's a chi in Greek, and the Spanish also, I think, has it. I think some of them pronounce the x, is the x or the j. I don't remember. What? The J, right. So some of them would just be, I was taught in Yeshiva called Spanish, it's Javier, but they may have some like Javier or something like that. Anyway, so other languages have it, but that's not a guttural test even. That's just like a chasan, that's hard enough as it is. Okay, so the Yerushalmi, as Peter points out, says this is a claim with the ches and the hey, right?
Can you even see in the way the Yerushalmi spells names? Like,
yes,
more
yes. Well, that's actually the Bible. You have it backwards. What is the name Rav Huna mean? What is the name Huna? That's like a good Jewish name, right? The answer is it's Rav Huna. It's like Hanina. Hey. In the Yerushalmi, it's always written ches vavnun, aleph. So that, if anything, that fits, Rav Chiya is a Babylonian. That fits better with the idea of the Babylonians lost it. But why the Yerushalmi is the place that they choose to read Ches and Hey that way, I don't know. Because you would expect it to live in the Babylon, it's not. Okay, fine. Alright, so the Gemara continues. So one of them is for to teach us the din of Pidyon. By the way, just so you're aware, this is a throw for Dovi and Ephraim. The Shita of Chazal is that you take Levi, it's Yerushalayim, you eat it. What was the Shita of Qumran? That's he said. You give it to the Kohanim. In fact, if you look at Targum Yonasan Alatora, which is not really Yonasan, that's what he says. Misparat min Kohanaya. It says Revi goes to the Kohanim. We don't. That's not known from anywhere else in Rabbinic literature. It is known from Qumran, from the Dead Sea set. Oh no. So we say you do pidyon on it. You take you. It's your. It's mama. It's not mama bialim, but it belongs to the bialim. Okay. Next, the chada. What's the other word? Yonatan can do.
Ida.
Sorry.
Yeah. Davar ha'taun. Shira ta'un. Shira ta'un chilo. Okay,
so the Rishonim comment briefs on this. What does that mean? Things that require Shira require Chilul. What requires Shira?
Wine of
Karbanos. And therefore, that wine requires Tidur. Okay, so now, and Minayim. The Amar of Shmuel Nachman, did Uchad Rav Shmuel Nachman and his son, go ahead.
Did Shmuel Bar Nachman Yom Rav Yonan, Tanda Amar Rav Yonan. Minayin she'in umre Mishira, el al hayayin, shenemar, v'tomer lehen ha-gefen,
Hechadalki es tiyoshi.
Hechadalki es tiyoshi, v'hasmeach elokei v'anashim.
Okay, so this is from a wonderful story, which most of you probably don't remember, because when's the last time you learned Shoftim? How well did they teach you Shoftim? It's one of my favorites. This is one of those great stories. Most of Shoftim is fun. Some of it's a little gory, but it's fun. What's that?
It's
gory.
It's fun.
Hollywood doesn't make it into a movie, that's for sure. What's the Shaiva? So, what's that? What's that?
Early Shoftim is important, the entire thing.
It's all exciting. No, it's not all glory. Not quite, no. Telegus Vigilia is a little bit unusual. Telegus Vigilia is out of Hollywood. You know, it's sex, it's violence, and so on. You don't have the somos quite. You don't have war. War you have, but not the. Not the. Child sacrifice? I mean, that's not quite as. So, anyway, this is from the story after. Abimelech kills his 70 siblings, the children of Gideon, and the one child survives, his name is Yotam, survives, and he gets up on the mountain, he gives the famous speech about the the trees went to go appoint the king for themselves, so they went to the various trees. The last one who accepted the deal sort of was the thorn bush, the Ahad. But the first one was the Geffen, and the Geffen said, "What do you mean? I'm too busy. I'm going to stop giving my tirah. It makes people happy and God happy." So the Gemara's question is, go ahead. How does wine make God happy? So the answer is. Okay. So simcha, so obviously God is not happy or not happy, certainly if you're a Maimonidean, but it means that we do the mitzvahs of God with yayin. So, and it comes with joy, and that is shira, and therefore. You only say Shira the Beis HaMikdash al Hayayim. The Rishonim point out that it's dafka in the context of Karbanos. There is Shira in other contexts where there's no wine involved. Is when they bring the Karban Pesach, they would sing the Hallel, there was Shira. Some Rishonim point out there's, I think, where the other place where they mention the Shira, it's not in Tosas. So they say that dafka by Achilas Mizbeach. And in case you're wondering, that Tosas uses that language. In case you're wondering, that comes, I asked you to look at the parallels. So, did anybody look at the two Gemaras in Arachin? So, if you notice the Gemara in the second one, on Daf Yud Aleph, I think it's Beis Amud Aleph, said, if you bring the chasim b'fnei atzman, the way Tosfos explains, if I brought the carbon today, but I didn't bring the carbon tzibur, but I didn't bring the nesachim yet, and I bring it tomorrow, can they still sing Shiran on the nesachim or not? And the Gemara wants to know, is it on any shkia, or only shkia that's accompanied by achila? So, that's kind of floating in the background of Tosfos when he says it's only on achila nesach. So therefore, you have one pasuk that one hilulim, one of the two hilulim teaches you that you need to redeem the revai if you want to eat it outside of Yerushalayim. And number two is it teaches you that revai applies to wine. Ronnie, question.
Do you think that in the story, this is probably something that happened with you at the time, which is that wine really did make God happy, like offering some?
I don't think that that reflects a theological statement. I don't think so. Okay, so the Gemara now continues. So, honey, halaman the honey.
Neta ravai. Halaman the honey, karam ravai, maika.
Maika lamei. Now, of course, you don't know what neta and karam are. You don't know what this machlokas is about. And you know where else in Shas this machlokas appears? Nowhere. This is the only occurrence. You know, the Gemara makes it sound like, neta ravai is karam. This is the source. And then, now the Gemara will tell you. What is this neta ravai and karam ravai business? Go ahead. The Itmar.
Oh, the Itmar. Rapida, Rav Shimon, Rabbi, Chad Tani, Karam Ravai, Chad Tani, Neta Ravai.
Okay, so we just take a little brief pause here to talk about this. We're not going to talk about it fully. I do want to give you a little bit of background. Firstly, what does it mean, Chad Tani, probably Tani, Karam Ravai, Chad Tani, Neta Ravai? What do those words mean?
No,
go ahead.
One taught it this way, one taught it the other way.
When you say taught, what does that mean, taught?
They were taught, so they had memorized the Mishnah.
It's to me, whenever you see that word there, it's referring to the Nusach HaMishnah. So, Chad Tani, Karam Ravai, Chad Tani, Neta Ravai. So, what does that mean as the Bavli presents it? Toby? So if you look at the Mishnah, it's the primary discussion of Karam Ravai, where most of the occurrences appear. The references in the Mishnah are in the fifth paragraph of Mishnah Maseches Ma'aseh. Makes sense, because Ravai is, at the end of the day, Ravai is patterned upon Ma'aseh in terms of the rules of Pidyon, eating Yerushalayim, adding on a Chomesh according to Beis Halal. It's all, you know, according to the Bavli, at least, Beis Hillel holds that it's Gzeira Shava Kodesh Kodesh between Ma'aser Sheni and Revi. That's how you know all the din of Ma'aser Sheni transferred to Revi. Okay. Now, so when the Mishnayos talk about it, so if you, did any of you open up, I didn't put it on much, but you open up the Mishnayos of the fifth parak of Ma'aser Sheni, and you'll read the first three or four Mishnayos all said Terem Revi. And then as the parak progresses, the Mishnayos reads Nefer Revi. Now, the way the Bavli is understanding that is that's a reflection of the Machlokas in the Nusach of the Mishnah, and here's the crucial point. It's a Machlokas in what the din is. See, one could have said something very simple, which is to say, when the Mishnah says Terem Revi, it doesn't mean
Mamash Terem.
Yeah, it's just, it's an example. It's a very, you know, why does the Torah pick the Shiva Samina that it does, the praise?
Because they were common in Eretz Yisrael.
So that one was common in Eretz Yisrael. Right? The reason why Yayin makes an appearance in Tanakh and beer does not, Shefar is not beer, is because they didn't generally drink beer in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't make beer, they made wine. In Babel, they drank beer. So Eretz, Tikal, Sorry, Gefesim, Ron, amazingly enough, are the primary fruits of Eretz Yisrael. That's a shock once you stop and think about it. So, Kerem could just be a very common example of Revi. It doesn't have to be, right? Chita and Sa'ora aren't in the Parsha because, you know, of the Shlosh Amin at least, because they're not fruits. So if the others that would theoretically be subject to fruit, you know, Revi, and you could have just said the Mishnayos, sometimes the Tanya uses the term Kerem, sometimes you use the term Netha. Now, the Bavli, and if, when you learn the Yerushalmi, when you look at the Yerushalmi, the first Perek HaLacha, you will see that is not happening. Eretz Yisrael, they're discussing this issue, but Kerem Revi Nether Revi is not a Machlokas in Halacha. It's just a question of what the Mishnah and Mishnayos were. Because somebody asks Rebbe, which way does the Mishnah read? And he says, ask so-and-so who's a Baki in the Mishnah and Mishnayos. And he says, the first ones are Kerem Revi, the later ones are Nether Revi, which is reflective of what we have in our Mishnah. Throughout the Mishnah, mostly it's Nether Revi, if you would look and see the phrase. Now, I don't want to dwell at great length on that, but the Yerushalmi doesn't understand there being a subject of Machlokas. This is the only sugya anywhere in Shas, Bavli Yerushalmi, where we have this idea presented all of a sudden that maybe Revi doesn't apply to anything but vines. Now, why is that really bizarre? At first glance, why is it really bizarre? Yeah, because the previous passage says, Chisavala Aretz, Unitazem, Kal Eitz Ma'acha. Whole fruit tree. Then you get to Vashana Harviyas, and now it's like, you're telling me this only applies to Kerem. Now, we're going to talk about this. I don't want to do this now. We're doing the sugya. When we get to the Daf Lamed Vav Med Aleph, and we deal with the wonderful sugya of the caper berry bush, which is a very hard, it's very hard to forget botanical stuff there. And even Professor Felix's book was not very helpful. So we'll talk about Revi more there. This big machlokas, and some of it may relate to what is the inherent connection between Revi and Orla. But I'm going to ask you one simple question. You're right, Rami. It is totally bizarre that you could say that it applies to Kerem, only grapes or wine, not to other fruit trees, when the previous pasuk Orla applies to all. But let me ask you a question. Is there a reason why anybody would come up with seemingly such a crazy idea? What? The what? Yes. Yeah, don't forget the Pasuk of Parshas Shoftim. Now, there is another definition, and I'll leave it at this for now. How do you define the difference between Kerem and Netha? Well, in our sugya, it's clear that it's a species difference. Kerem means grape, the vine. Netha means all fruit trees. However, there is another distinction which is clear, maybe not relating to the sugya in the Gemara and Sota, which is that Kerem refers to a yard, a vineyard, a tree yard, an orchard, of a certain number of trees, which are typically defined as five, a minimum of five trees, two by two, and two rows of two, and one anywhere sticking out. Shkayim keneged shkayim ve'achasir tzezana. Anything less than that is netha. If it's not planted in an apple with silver, it's a line, or if it's fewer than five trees. That is the halacha, actually, in the way we understand the Chosrei Me'orchei HaMelchama that Dovi referred to, Me'aisha Shnata Kerem, there is one Tana, Rav Lezni Yaakov says it has to be a vineyard, but everybody else says no. It's any fruit tree, not an Ilan Srach. It's got to be fruit-bearing trees. Kerem means it has to be in a certain tzura, as I described before. You should know, by the way, that there is there are two interesting Shitasid Rishonim. There's a whole group of Rishonim who claim that if you hold, how does it go? In order to be chayav in Ravai, you have to have that certain number of trees. In other words, it has to have that din of Karim. Fewer than Balamor says it here, a whole bunch of Rishonim say here. The Ritva says it here. If you don't have the requisite number of trees, there's no din of Ravai. I don't remember if they say that only within the Karim Ravai Shika or even the Nef Ravai Shika. Number two, there's an unbelievable Rashi and Sota. Rashi and Sota Bachnam Gimel, which is where this is discussed about Chosrei Me'orchan Lachama. Rashi says that, at least according to the Shita Karim Ravai, if you have only one tree in Eretz Yisrael, it's not Chayav in Orla. It's not a Karim. It's mind-boggling. That Shita is, the Me'iri says he doesn't believe that it came off of Rashi's head. But anyway, so really, in other words, you have two different definitions floating around of Karim versus Netha. One is a species, the other is a shape or structure. In our Sugya, it's clear, and that's where the Kiva Eger tells you, look at Rashi and Sotha and says, Sarachiyun, it's clear in our Sugya that Karim versus Netha is the species. If you want to lay on top of that a number of things, that's fine. But you cannot get away from the fact that the Manda Amar Karim Ravai holds there's no Ravai by any other fruit trees other than the grapevine. Okay. So now the Gemara continues and says, all right, so here's the issue. We need to learn brachos. We were relying upon Hilulim. There are two Hilulims. Hilulim. The problem is that we need one for Pigyon, and we need one to teach you that it's Karim Dafka, that it's the grapevine Dafka. So the Gemara now says, go ahead. Right, so Hanicha Lamanta Tani Netha Ravai. If you hold Netha Ravai, you're fine. I'm going back to read the previous line.
Yeah.
Because you don't need the pasuk to teach you that the din only applies to grapes, because it doesn't only apply to grapes. So one Hilulim teaches you Achle Lahada Achle. And the other one can be used to teach you at least one bracha. A bracha. Bracha before, bracha afterwards. The Gemara will then talk about that. But if you hold that the din of Ravai only applies to Kerem, so then you don't have any psukim free to teach you brachas. So now what do? And then the Gemara says, but still, go ahead. Okay, so Netha Ravai, you're okay. And Ibu Lamanda Tani Kerem Ravai.
Hanisha Iyalit.
Zerushov.
Zerushov, sorry. Titania.
Rebbe Omer.
Rebbe Omer. Nemar Khan Lahusif Lacham to Bohoto. Nemar Bahalan to Ruat Hakaram. Babahalan Karam of Khan Karam.
Okay, so Lahusif Lacham to Waso is the pasuk in the fifth year. Vashaman Achamisha Safuas Payor Lahusif Lacham to Waso in the parasha of Orla Rabbi. And the other one is the parasha of Kiloya Karam. Right, Pentek Dasham, that was this past Shabbos this year. Pentek Dasham Le'azer Ashek Hizra, Usfuas HaKarim. So just like there, it's Dafka, and that is, I don't think there are any dissenting opinions in Chazal. Los Hizra Karim Echav Kelayim is Dafka the grapevine, and therefore that is Dafka Tzfuas HaKarim. What does the word Tzfuas mean, by the way? Put your hand down. The ringer. What does the word Tzfuas mean? I mean, that's fine, but that's not a good translation. You've got to capture it well. Tavua is?
Not
deep. No? I mean, yes, maybe, but not here.
There it is.
Yes, but not. That's not the right translation. Tavua. What's the root of Tavua? Beis Lavav. What is the proper translation then? You're getting so close. Income. That's what Tavua is, literally. Income. The word ba has two meanings. It means to come and it means to enter. And when you put it in the hip field, it means to either bring or to bring in. and therefore, tzvua is a term like truma, tzvua, those are all the verbs. Tzvua means income. So tzvua sakarem. So tzvua means that which comes in from the vineyard. So tzvua. Just like there it's Karim, so through here it's Karim. And therefore, if that's how you learn it, yeah.
Isn't the rule usually that you can only learn one thing from a given pasuk? But here we say Hilulim, then let's just learn two.
Well, because it's a plural. It could have just said Kodesh Hilul Hashem. That's standard.
Is that standard?
Yes. The drasha I quoted before, Ela HaDvarim. Dvarim HaDvarim. Mm. Right? So there, they learn from Dvarim to Hadvarim, the extra hay, is one addition. So this is the little bit of plural we get to. Okay, so you use once, so if you can learn Kerem Ravai from a different source from the Kerem Shabbos. So now, once again, you have one phrase. Okay, so now, but if you don't have the Kerem Shabbos, so if you have it, you get one extra bracha. But the E, low. Yeah, how are you going to learn bracha? And the E. But the fun of. All right, so even if you do have a Zera Shava, fine, so you have one process, but now we need to learn before and after, and maybe you only use it for after. Now, why do we default to after as opposed to before? Because we know what bracha is afterwards. And that seems to be the default option. So that's what Rashi says. Okay. But how do you know before? So now the Gemara asks, Abram?
Why is it saying, oh, if you don't have the
Zera
Shava, but you have the Zera Shava?
Well, no, because not every. You know, Zera Shava is this funny limud where they say that in Adam Dan Zera Shava, I'm saying Gemara Me Rava. You can't make up your own Zera Shava. So sometimes we have a machlokas whether such a Zera Shava exists in the tradition or not. So the Gemara says, if the Tana who holds that it's Kerem Ravai has in his tradition the Zera Shava, so what's for? So fine, he got one free. But none, he's got none. And even if he has one, get asked the bracha afterwards. How do you know the bracha before? So now the Gemara says,
Halo Kasha, Da'ase Bekal Chomet, Kishu Saba Mazarid.
So you learn a Kal Vachomer. That if you have to make a bracha when you are sated, you certainly have to make a bracha when you are hungry. Is this a good Kal Vachomer? Well, the answer you know is no, because the Gemara elsewhere rejects it.
But it also
this is why you have to look up parallels or read Tosas.
It also just prima facie doesn't seem to make much logical sense.
For those of you who didn't talk to me, Ian, you came to me complaining about the Zera Shava, right? Okay, so the others, so we discussed this a little bit. Boss, why don't you like these Zera Shabbat?
Because when I'm hungry, I care more about eating food than I care about praising God. I mean, that meant to make me better, but. Like, I'm not saying me personally.
Let me ask you a question. Well, I won't ask a question. You know what time you were going to complain?
Yeah. What? Is the cool question on that?
No. Why don't you like the Kavahoma?
I mean, like, if the point is that we have to thank God for the hana of the food, then you should be thanking God. It should be even more important to thank God when you're satiated and enjoying the.
But that's what the Gemara says later.
Yeah.
Malas Avesh came in. So I'm not going to. The Gemara ultimately doesn't accept this halacha. It's rejected elsewhere. The reason why the Gemara doesn't jump all over it here is because it's going to reject things anyway. Right? They know where. I should have said this at the beginning. This is a classic kind of sugya ketikha, an opening sugya. It's more typical at the beginning of Mesechtos, but it can be found at the beginning of Prakim as well. You want to see kind of one of the classic ones, which became the subject of somebody's dissertation, Perek HaIsha Rav in the Bavli, the 10th Perek of Yavamos, is a carefully constructed opening sugya. There are lots of them. The beginning of Psachim, the first Mishnah of Psachim, that's the beginning of Mesechta. There's an elaborate literary structure of seven proofs and seven proofs about what the or means. Or larva asa vokele sahamis. Everybody knows it means at night. But the Gemara first quotes seven sukkim, 3, 1, and 3, to prove that or is light, and it quotes sukkim and it darshens them up, and then it quotes seven brises and rabbinic statements in the reverse order, and then of course everybody knows the maskana, because everybody knows that or is not here. It's not. That's clear. That sugya, very often, I'm trying to think of what's a really good example of it. Very often, I want to say Baba Kama's opening sugya. And you do Baba Kama in Yeshiva? Baba Kama's opening sugya with Toldosein Kayotze Bahem is an introduction to the first half of the Masechta. You almost have to know the rest of the first half of the Masechta to understand half the things being stated. Because it's going through each of the Avos Nezikin, talking about some of its characteristics, and that really is a digest of so much of the material that comes later. That Sugyat Peticha was composed last, not first. In other words, it assumes, and there are many other cases of this in Shas, it assumes knowledge. It assumes knowledge of things that only come later.
Strange to place it at the beginning
and
place it at the end.
Yes, but that was, it's more exciting than a lot of other things. Some of them are very also literary, and I got it. In other words, Baba Kamas is not, but Sufim certainly is. Some of it may reflect being a public Russia. It's hard to know. But anyway, so this is Yafet Kiha. The Gemara knows where it's going. We should even point that out on Ketzem Mavarchu. How can you say Ketzem Mavarchu Paris? How do you know you have to make a bracha Paris? The answer is, because they know the Maskana. It's as far as, of course you have to make a bracha Paris. That's like, you know, a little like, you know, how do you know you have to wear a yarmulke? Because it says, they say, after we wear a shalom, after we have to wear a yarmulke, wasn't wearing a yarmulke, wasn't wearing a yarmulke? Right? That's kind of what it is. Right? Of course we know Mavarchu not Paris. It's so... What's that?
But Yaakov, how do you know
Yaakov wears
a
strangle? Because of the Yaakov. It's the same thing, right? So some things are so obvious that of course you know them. So the Gemara knows where it's going. So the fact that you could be mafrif this Kavah Chomer, the Gemara just doesn't bother doing it here. But that's why you look up the parallels, because you'll know when you look on in the, in later, I think it's later in this parak, or it's in the seventh parak, I think it's the seventh parak, the Babli will say, yeah, it's on the Testament base, it's in the seventh parak. We'll say, that's a Be'er Kavah Chomer. That's what the Gemara says.
So, given it's doing that, what does it accomplish by like having us taste these like ideas up front?
That's what I want to know. That's what I'm setting everybody up for. I want to know when the Gemara gets to the end, what is the Gemara really thinking? Yes, excellent question. Right, because it's very disheartening to just say, oh, it's always the time we should have just said it this far. Right? No, but the point is, so it's very tempting. In other words, there is a way of learning. They would just say, you know, and okay, you learned a bunch of Venom, right? There are a lot of Venom, there's a lot of Yibios buried in here, but I don't think that's what's going on here. I don't think ultimately that it's all rejected. It's rejected on one level, but it's actually very much accepted on another. That's what I want you to think about. That's why I put the Minchas Chinuch, the Chinuch, the Sefer Chinuch there at the end. So we'll come to that. But in the meantime, so that Kavah Chomer, the Gemara right now lets the Kavah Chomer stand, even though it's not a good Kavah Chomer. We have to talk about why it's not a good Kavah Chomer. The Gemara says something, which I think is, I mean, that, you know, in my application of the Gemara, is correct. What is the Gemara telling us? And I think it's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious that the function of a Bracha Rishona and the function of Bracha Achrona are two very, very different things. And we'll talk about when we finish the Gemara in the next couple of days. I want to at least discuss before we continue in the text of the Gemara and start to tackle stuff, and we still have some other stuff before we get to the meat of brachas. We have still another like quarter of a daf for the Torah. I want to talk about what is the function of brachas. I think brachos are one of the most amazing aspects of Torah. If we grew up making them, we don't really think about them. They're really an amazing, amazing component of Avodas Hashem. It's really remarkable. Why is it Asa Litom Ach? You know, Asa Litom Kolach. You know, Achivarecha. Why is it Kona Almazev Libracha? I think one of the most profound principles of Jewish theology philosophy rests in this particular issue, and I think that many of the maladies that affect Jewish communities over time and today are very much rooted in the failure to understand what a bracha is, what a bracha is reminding us about. So we'll get to that. But in the meantime, excellent question. This is not a bracha. This Gemara in the meanwhile is not a bracha of Apollo. Sorry. Most of the puns I make are really unintentional. That I caught myself when I did intentionally. I apologize. Just one thing to understand the rule about sheer jokes. Shira, you want to share? What's the rule about jokes in sheer?
We're allowed to make jokes, but they have to be funny. Or the reader's allowed to make the jokes, and they don't have to be funny, we have to laugh anyway.
No. The last part is, you don't have to laugh. Exactly. I can make not funny jokes, but you're not looking to laugh. Okay? So, anyway. That's enough. Okay. So the Gemara now, so the Gemara right now will accept the Kavah Chomer. Fine, so good. Great. If, in fact, you, and by the way, we've totally forgotten about the Kfelo Netha Rabbi. Because at least you can learn a little bit more. But again, you can't ask, you could start to say things, oh, well, Netha Ravai is, you could, some of these questions apply as well, so you could start to say, London's why they really don't apply if you're holding Netha Ravai. It's only the Mandana Karavai. You don't have to say that. The Gemara just never gets around to asking, because, again, it knows where it's going. So go ahead.
Asukin Karim, Shari Minyan Ginan.
Ah, very nice. Okay, great. So when you just learned this, you have to make a Bartriag offhand or a Bartriag on grade someone. Okay, what about everything else? You know, it would lead to odd behavior. You know the two things that from Jews are most afraid of? What are the two things that from Jews are most afraid of?
Well, one is washing.
Well, having to wash a bench. Number two?
Long
no. Become inflation. Those are the two most important things that from Jews are afraid of.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So imagine that if I told you, if we want to solve all the alcohol issues, well, unfortunately beer would, they could drink beer instead of wine. You get people to stop drinking wine by just telling them, you know what, you have to make progress on wine. That's fine, I won't drink wine. Okay, but you can't get around that because otherwise it would be a Darwinian practice because you couldn't eat anything. So, the Gemara continues, the Ashtuchan, Sher Minim, Minai, Hadina. So the Gemara now suggests.
The Yalas Mitaran, Mal Karem, Dabar Shenena, and Tavlan Bracha. I'll call Dabar Shenena, and
Tavlan Bracha. What is this lingua called? It's a term for this.
Yeah.
It's called a binyan av is really in the same family as a kal v'chomer without the force of the kal v'chomer. It goes like this. I am strong, for I am a stronger. If I can pick up 50 pounds, certainly if I can pick up 50 pounds. That's a kal v'chomer. A binyan av, I'm a person. If I'm a person, I can pick up weights. If I can pick up weights. Now, sometimes you have, just like you have a pirchon of kal v'chomer, you have a pirchon of binyan av. Now, the answer is, well, no. Because I spend time in the gym lifting weights, if I'm present. So maybe that kind of a person can pick up weights, but a person who doesn't can't. I'm picking a silly example. My point is, a kal v'chomer binyan av belong to the same school, except that the binyan av is simply, these are similar, therefore they should have the same binyan. Kal v'chomer is, if this has the thing, certainly that there's a similarity, and it's even stronger. And what is a binyan av? If you say Rabbi Yishmael, I hope you do, the Shulchan Aruch says you should say Rabbi Yishmael starts in Midrash every day, it's supposed to say Kavanos also. So at the end you say, binyan av mikasav echad, or binyan av mishnei ksuvim. What's a binyan av mishnei ksuvim? Right here, you're about to witness it. A binyan av mikasav echad is you can't learn from this, if this din, this pasuk, this example is a good paradigm, so fine, you expand it to other types of things. If, however, there's something peculiar about it which might give it this din, and you can't expand it, that's called a pircha, you might invoke a different type of thing and say, that will be the model. But you might find a flaw, a different flaw, with the other model. So now you put the two of them together and you say the following. I have A and B. Each one of them has a flaw that you couldn't expand on, but it's not the same flaw. So A's problem is it doesn't go to the wind. B's problem is it doesn't get on the train. But A and B can both do X, and you see that the fact that they get on the get on the treadmill, I mean, I get backwards, or that you lift weights cannot be the causal factor because each one of them doesn't have the other one. So it can't, in other words, if A lifts weights but B doesn't, B runs on the treadmill, so the fact that B can do it means it's not the lifting of weights that lets you do it. The fact that A doesn't run on the treadmill means you can't say when I try to bring a ride from B that the treadmill, running the treadmill, allows you to do this because A doesn't run on the treadmill and can do it. Now, what might you just say to me? But
they both go to the gym.
They both go to the gym, so you can't bring a ride from them. So that's a pircha on two of them. Okay. What you might then find is the bachur in the big sandwich. He doesn't go to the gym, and you bring him, and he can do this also. So now you would say that he might have some other thing because he's got some of his own shtick that he does. You know, he davens extra hard, but the guys who go to the gym, not that you can be both, don't daven extra hard. So you say, that could be a binyan av mishlosha ksuvim. But that's the concept that's going on here. Sometimes the Gemara here doesn't use that. I don't think they use the expression. Oh, they do. They say lo mizek to rizek. I don't know what the word re'i means. I know what it means. I know what it means. It means an aspect, right? A re'i is a characteristic of something. Maybe it's related to re'uya. I don't know. And the Gemara will say that lo mizek to rizek, hatzara shava shebehen is the following. They're both guys who go to the gym and they can do it. You know, or I should say it the other way. They both guys, and they don't all go to the gym, and therefore they can do it, so therefore another person can do it as well. That's what the Lo Rizek Rizek, yes.
Is it in some, not necessarily here, but another Mars, the breaking, that distinction that it breaks, it seems like totally irrelevant to what's going on?
So there is something called a Pircha Koltahu that the Gemara talks about. A Pircha Koltahu is like something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it's just... So, I don't want to go further in this topic. I just want you to understand what you're seeing here, and it's part of a broader phenomenon. That's all. So, trying to figure out Amoraic drushes and even Tannaic drushes, for I would like to say for most things that have been written about it, not because it's impossible inherently, but it might be, is a fool's errand. I mean, you end up, you know, giving such a pool to explain how it works when nothing works consistently. Like, we don't really fully get the system. It's not something we're so familiar with. Like, some of the drushes that are used are intuitive types of limudim. Kal vachomer is intuitive. Even a klal v'pratu klal might be intuitive. Some of them are. Some of them are just, you know, hard to... I mean, first you have to see the examples of that, but these are, some of them are obscure. Zeir Shabbat is kind of a funny one. It fits between worlds. Okay, so anyway, go ahead. So the Gemara says they want to make the binyan. Kerem is a very special type of mix, a special type of produce, because the Torah obligates you to separate olos. What is olos?
It's like by peah.
It's part of peah. It's what?
It's not complete.
Yeah, things that are not normal clusters. So they're kind of single grapes, very little things. That is among the matanos they left to the poor. In a kerem, you have peah, which you set aside with a chatila. You have leket and shikha, the things that drop. It's not called leket by a kerem, it's called peret. But the same thing, it means it drops out of your hand accidentally as you're gathering. There's shifcha, and there's also something called olos, the misshapen ones. So kerem is special because no other grain has peah, leket, and shifcha. There's no dinner funny shaped wheat heads, you know, that are given to the poor people. So kerem is such an unusual thing that the Torah says to give the olos. Maybe that's why it requires a bracha. Okay? It's a unique kind of produce. The Torah thinks it's so special. And maybe other things, even though you get an offer from them, wouldn't require. So now the Gemara says, okay, so it says Kamachotei. So this is what I pointed out in Shir yesterday. I assume some of you looked at the Sugya of Metziah. Even Ephraim was wowed by this. Because when you read Kama, it's really strange. Kama is not, sometimes we refer to Chitim. We have lots of words that we've used to refer to things related to bread. And this might be one of the, maybe the only place in Shas outside of its parallel, where we refer to the species, you know, referring to wheat, the chamesh asminim, as kama. Why? Because this part of the sugya has been lifted from the Gemara Bava Metzia, which the Gemara wants to know. The Torah mentions, by poel ochel min haTorah, the worker who's allowed to eat from the produce he's working on. The Torah says kerem, and the Torah says kama. So how do you know it applies to other things? So the Gemara is trying to make it be enough. So the Gemara says there, well, learn from kerem. And the Gemara's answer is no. Maybe kerem is different because it's chayav in olos. Ah, but the Torah says, but kama, and kama is not chayav in olos. But what is the specialty of kama? Go ahead.
Malu kama shachin chayav in chayav et bechala.
Bechala, and that already tells you what kama is defined as. What is chayav in chala? Shemi. Chamesh shmini dagan, or chayav in chala. What are the chamesh shmini dagan? Do not answer that question. We will talk, at some point that we can share on that. I know, some of you know, okay? We'll get to that eventually. But bottom line is, let's just say wheat and barley and its subspecies, okay? So they are chayiv and challah. So that's very special, that the wheat and barley and its subspecies are so special, the Torah is chayiv challah. So, but other things, there's no chayiv and challah, so maybe you would make brachos on it. So the Gemara says... Oh! Okay. So now we have a thing now. We've got two things, and they can serve as a model of things that you get hana from when you eat. So now the Gemara says, not so fast. Again, this is from Bava Metzia. They have a tzad mizbeach, which is what's that? They are offered on the altar.
Yeah.
Right? You have Karba Mincha and Nesach Hayayin, and there's one other thing which the Gemara is about to point out. It's funny, they don't... What else, what other foodstuffs go on the altar?
Animals.
Meat. And?
Fruit.
What? That's part of meat.
Oil.
Oil and? Oh, you don't... Do you eat wood?
Salt.
And it's a new chumrah. If you chew on paper.
Mila says that the wood is kind of like a carbon.
Yes, but it's not edible.
It's not edible.
I mean, it's a new chumrah. If you eat paper, you know, sometimes kids, I don't say still do it, but they eat paper, so then you see it's wood. Right? Water.
Water. Aging barrels, you're getting the flavor of the wood.
What's that? That's not eating wood. Yeah, that's also a little bit of a scam. I just want to say, it's not clear what's going on there. So, but it sounds good. So maybe. So water. Brian said water, right? So water and meat, and oil and wine and flour. Salt is not. It's not really burnt on the mizbeach. No, you can't, you know, the stuff is salted, but you wouldn't, a person can volunteer to bring, can be misnadev yayin, they can be misnadev shemen alone. What you do with them is a discussion on the fire, before them, and so on. But you can't be I don't think you're misnadev salt as a carbon.
Can you be
misnadev
mayim as a carbon?
No, but there is a carbon of mayim, which is the nisach mayim. So, okay. So, we have things that are on the staff. So the Gemara only takes one thing here, which is itself telling. Go ahead. So 1 second. The Gemara says, "V'zayis mitzad mizbeach asi." Once you learn it, once your piracha is that came by yesh tzad mizbeach, at least you get olive or olive oil in the deal as well. And now the Gemara just says, "Well, why do you need to learn that from that tzad?" V'ha.
V'hedya k'tiv be.
When Shimshon took the foxes of Shloshmei Shulim and tied them tail to tail and set them on fire, so, and then it started a conflagration. Shimshon is such a character. Shimshon is such a character. So those are some of the best. Shulim's a great sefer. So is Shmuel also a great sefer. There's a lot of good stuff. Okay, Tanakh. In general, I highly recommend to learn Tanakh. Okay. Not even Yeshiva College anymore, but otherwise, it's highly recommended to learn Tanakh. Sorry. Sorry about that. Okay. Scratch that from the record. But, why, let me ask you a question, though. Why do they only pick on Zayis? Why don't they talk about Basar? And, let's go Basar. Yeah. What? So who cares? We're talking about Brachos. Brachos isn't in here. Exactly. Thank you. I wish to articulate that. The reason they don't go down the road to talk about you also learn meat here is because this is really the sugya in Bava Metzia. Paul Ochel Menat Torah is only by produce, right? It's Kerem and Kama. So the only kinds of things you might learn in Aleph, you know, you could say, okay, Asi Zayas. You know, water and meat are not covered by the din of Paul Ochel Menat Torah. That just Torah is only talking about produce. So the sugya in Bava Metzia doesn't take it beyond to other things on the Mizbeach, which are not Kama, Kerem, and Zayas. It doesn't go further, even though you could do it in Tachos, because that's talking about produce. So once the sugya is copied over, the Gemara doesn't go any further with it yet. Yes.
How do you know that this sugya came from Bava Metzia, not the other way around?
Answer the question. I'm not angry at you. I'm just getting excited. Someone answer his question.
Well, it's better in the context of Bava Metzia.
Kama. Why did you pick Kama? You pick Lechem, you pick Kisarova. That is Kisarova, Kama Sreyachia. That's why. So that's how it's clear it's coming. But again, you don't learn any great deaning from here, but if you want to understand why pieces don't make sense, why the language doesn't make sense, why the Gemara stops at Zayas and Vegas so further, you have to understand that, literarily speaking, this piece was just taken by the Misadrim of the Sugya and placed here, and that's why it appears odd in context. I don't know if this relates to the nature of the orality of the text. It's possible. It's also convenient. You know, you take it for granted it's there, but people have to work to generate these sugyas. So, yeah, it's probably it's convenient, even if it's not a function of the oral nature and wanting to remember it. So. Okay. So, the Gemara said, Mikoma Konkasha. Malatan.
Oh, Amar Papa. Karam Zayat Ikri. Karam Sama. Karam Sama.
Lo Ikri, right? You can't, and that's called a Karam Zayas. It's not called Karam. Therefore, Kisavo, the Karam Reyecha, you can't assume, you have to learn it by Ma'asad. You can't learn it from the Pshat in the Pasuk. Okay, now, before you go further, actually, the Gemara had assumed that Kama Tochiach. How do you know? What is Kama Tochiach? What is Kama proof?
Kama has a. Yeah, no, it's a bracha
aharonah. Thank you. Kama has a bracha aharonah. How do you know you have to make a bracha aharonah on Kama?
Because it's
like how do you know that's referring only to Kama?
Because Rashi said that.
How does Rashi know? Because he learned Chumash. And Rashi said that. Well, how does the Pesukim read? This is going to... So just... I will spill this to Kiyas now. We are going to discuss these issues as they come up. There are two, is a machlokas atanoim, Chacham and Rabbi Gamliel, at the end of our para, whether, what is chayiv in birchas hamazon. The Chachamim, no surprise to you, hold that only lechem. Lechem is defined in the nutshell definition of one of the chamesh shnei dagan, made into flour, mixed with
water.
A liquid or water. To keep it simple, straight lechem, regular pas, is mixed with water and baked with a certain kind of heat source. That's what's called lechem. That's the Chachamim's position, and that is, you know, our practice. The only reason I said the water piece is Hatabah Kisri, which is a major topic that we are going to discuss. You will not leave this year without at least having an idea of whether you should or shouldn't make a brach on pizza. You will not leave this year. I mean, unless you leave tomorrow, but you will not finish this year, or probably even the semester that turns this year, without knowing, you know, what Hatabah Kisri is about. Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah holds that all Shivas Haminim get Birchas HaMazon, which I'll just, for a shtickle leitzonis, I'll just tell you my favorite tosis and shas. You know that when you make Birchas HaMazon, and some shitas hold it, you have to have a kosher bracha. Kosher bracha is wine, and somebody has to drink from a kosher bracha. So here's a catch. You bench, you have a kosher bracha. Then the Mavarech has to drink from the wine. Now the Mavarech has to bench. Now he has to have a kosher bracha. So Tosfos asked that question. Okay, at the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The answer is obviously for the computer science majors. This is not an infinite recurring loop. Okay. But bottom line is, Rabbi Gamliel holds that you require Birchas HaMazon all the Shivas Haminim. The only other, we don't pass in that way. There is a shita a lot of Rishonim hold. It's not the Rambam and it's not the Mechaber. But the Rashba is one of the first. He's not by far from the only one who holds this way. Who say that actually bracha achas mei'in shalosh. Some may only have it on al hamichya, on chit and sera, but I think the many have it on all the shivas haminim. That bracha achas mei'in shalosh, the al hamichya, the al ha'etz, the al hagefen. Those are all made the oraisa, subject to the rules of sviya. Whether you require sviya or you don't, that's a big machlokas. In the Gemara, we've shown them what the Oraisa requirement is. We will, God willing, a second semester get to the seventh paragraph and talk about that issue. But the possibility that Baruch HaAchas Mei'in Shalosh is the Oraisa, a lot of you shown them hold that way. Now, what is the root of, put that issue aside, just talk about for the moment the Machlokas Rabbi Gamliel HaChachamim. What is the Machlokas based upon? So the Gemara is going to say the following. The Pesukim read like this, three Pesukim in a row. Eretz Chital Sarah Begefen of Sin Avrino, Eretz Eshem Nufash. I'm going to say that again. Eretz Zeis Shem and Ufash. Eretz Asher Lo. Let me say it more correctly. Eretz Zeis Shem and Ufash. Eretz, that's Pasuk 1. The Shiva Sanim. Eretz Asher Lo Vimiskinus Tochaba Lechem Lo Sechzar Kova. Eretz Asher Avonera Barzel Meharan Tachzor Dechoshe. That speaks about Lechem. Okay? That speaks about Lechem. Asher Lo Vimiskinus Tochaba Lechem. You will eat pork, bread, and not in poverty. Finally, you have to step out the way of
Tasha Shalom. I think
he's talking about the iron. He's talking about the iron. Well, anyway, so the Chacham say the Achalta the Sabbath goes really only on the previous Pasuk. Rabbi Gamliel says it goes back even to Pesach. Let's start with that as the Machlokas. So up until this point in the Sugya, when the Gemara said that Koma has a bracha, and as somebody said correctly, bracha achrona, so Rashi quotes the pasuk of Eretz Asher Lo Vimiskinus Tochaba Lechem. Now the Gemara turns around and says, Ela, second of the medium width lines of the Gemara, go ahead.
Ela Yalitva Mishiva Haminen, Mashiva Haminen Devar Shanan and Tan Bracha, of Kol Devar Shanan and Tan Bracha.
Okay, so they want to say, let's learn from the Shiva Samin. Now Rashi goes and quotes the two Pesukim earlier. So the Gemara seemingly has shifted from the Chachamim to Rabbi Gamliel. Unless you argue that all of a sudden the Gemara has woken up and realized, like the Rashba, that you have to make a Baruch HaFron or all the Shiva Samin. Yes,
it's coming from
Bava Metzia. No. I think Bava Metzia is over.
Previous then. Previous then is coming from Bava Metzia. Yes. Why would you open this in a Kabbalah as Gapha?
Even if it's taken from Bava Metzia, that explains the literary aspects to it, but that doesn't, at the end of the day, the Gemara has now said that's insufficient for what we need, So let's go to a different place. Let's go to Shiva Samini. Right, as we can't use Kama and Kerem because they would only give us Zayas and nothing else. They'd give us Zat and Spam. So we're trying to find out all produce.
Is that what the transition formula of sorts?
El is the most important word in any Sogdim Shas. That I agree, except that the Gemara has to forget what we said before, scratch it out. So it's in the Lingman. So, in other words, in the previous, you're right. The Gemara in, you know, the problem is the way the Gemara here has used the Gemara in Bava Metzia, assume the Chachamim Shika that it's only Kama that is a problem. Again, Kama in Bava Metzia is Kisavo B'Kama Asreyecha. When it's adopted here, it's a reference to Lecha. And hence Rashi quotes the pasuk. So when the Gemara is adapting it here, without changing the words, it's assuming the sheep of the Chacham. When it says Ela B'Yad Shesamina, now it seems to be going, okay, forget what we said before, and we're not even working within the Shikas Chacham. Unless you say, like the Rashba, that all the Shiva Saminim require Bracha Achrona. So in the earlier part, when they copied from Mitzvah, they just glossed over that, because they wanted to just use Kama and Karim, because they were borrowed. Now that we're not bound to the Sidi Bav Mitzvah, okay, so let's use the pasuk of Eretz Chikas Sora, B'Yachal Tav Sabat. Okay, so now the Gemara says, okay, so the Gemara says, Ma l'shiva saminim. Okay, so the shiva saminim are special, not just the Torah praises them, but because they have a halacha that's special to them. They're only these things that chayiv in bikurim. Thank you. I'm going to take over just so we can finish briefly through that. Thank you very much. So number one, you would still only learn Shiva Saminim require bracha. Two, Va'oda Tenech Lachar L'Fana Minayim. You still only have one bracha Lacharel, because the bracha of Shiva Saminim is V'yachal Tavasavata. So the Gemara says, no, that holokasha, that's not a problem. The Asi B'Kava Chormek, Yishu Saveh, Mabarak, Yishu Rai Bel Koshake. But still we're stuck in the problem. How do you know to expand this bracha Achrona, bracha Rishona, to any other foodstuffs, you know, any other produce? And the Gemara says, in the mind of Tani, that the Ravai, let's say you get all foodstuffs, Hatenach called the Barnatia. The La Barnatia could go and basa, beitzim, the dogim. You know that. How do you learn non-produce? And for that point, you could have asked vegetables as well. Yerakos also are not Barnatia. So how do you know? Ella, the Gemara finally says, Sarahu. It sounds like Ella, to get everything we said, the word Ella, as I said a moment ago, Tadogi is one of the most important words in any Sogdim Shas. Many, many major machlokas are Rishonim center around whether the word Ella is there or not. Because Ella says, forget what we said before, it's a transition. Not the word Ella is qualifying what you said before. The previous answer holds, but we're going to introduce some modifications. So the Gemara seems to scratch everything we said. Ella Svaru, it's a Svaru. Asa la'adam shenama elom hazeh v'lo brach. So we're going to stop here. But Lewis's question, which I'm sure many of you have wondered about, remains as a crucial point. You mean, after all this work, and we could have spent even more time talking about Revi and other things here, after all this work you're telling me, it's just a svara. Now, and if it's a svara, it is the Raisa of Rabbanim. We generally assume it's Rabbanim, but the question that the Pnei Yeshua points out is that elsewhere in Shas, the Gemara will say, Kralamami svara, why do you need a pasuk to teach you this? It's a svara. So we will begin talking about that tomorrow with the other Mithoros and talk about the broader meaning of, you know, what is the point of brachos, what is the function that they fulfill.